You can go to 2 Timothy. Okay, and go to chapter 3. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. We're going to look at it again. 2 Timothy 3:16. What does it say? All scripture is God-breathed or given by inspiration of God, which is what? Literally God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a mouthful. What does it mean? Well, it means God gave the prophets, holy men of God, what to write down. We heard in a prayer or something that God's the author, right? And he is. And the men that wrote it down. The prophets, or they spoke it to somebody that wrote it down, like a scribe, like Baruch was for Jeremiah. So, and they wrote it down, and it was God-breathed as originally intended or given. And why do we say that? Well, because through 2,000 years, and actually how many ever thousands of years, because you have the Old Testament, it's been translated, it's been copied. And, you know, they copied them by hand. And there are instances where the ink smudged. And so then they couldn't always tell what it intended, or it said something else because of the type of language. Or there was one case, I had a book about it, and there was a guy, he was a monk, and he was copying the scriptures, and he froze to death as he was sitting there at his desk, you know. They didn't have electric lights. They didn't have, you know, so there were mistakes made. Then on top of that, there were situations where men manipulated the scriptures to say what they wanted it to say rather than what they actually said. So that's one of the reasons we study the word, to clear that up, to see how it works. That's why the keys to the word's interpretation are so important. So all scripture is God-breathed, and God gave it to prophets or holy men of God to write down, and that's as it originally was intended. And all scripture is profitable. And what does profitable mean? Well, it means that it's advantageous, it's useful, it's helpful. If you go over a page and look at Titus chapter 3, real quick. In verse 8, it says, this is a faithful saying. Well, the word of God is a faithful saying, right? Yes. It's always faithful. It's reliable. It's believable. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So, to maintain these things, to affirm these things, and to maintain good works, which would be what? To do the things of God, right? To do things that God would have you to do. And then it says in verse 9, but avoid. And this is interesting because if you read theology or philosophy, this is what you get. Avoid foolish questions. You know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Can God make a rock bigger than he can lift? Stupid questions, right? Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain, stupid, empty, without purpose. So that's what they are. So the word of God, and you go back to, is profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Walter Cummins translated this verse, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. And then in brackets, what was taught, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that is justness. Okay, what is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching, instruction, or what we have been or will be taught. So the first thing that God's word is profitable for, it is for instruction, or in what it teaches us. What does it teach us? Well, it teaches us everything we need to know about life and godliness, right? It teaches us about God. It teaches us about the origin of the universe. It teaches us about God's plan of redemption. It teaches us about our relationship with God. It teaches us how to live life in every aspect, how to raise kids, how to have a marriage, how to work, how to conduct a business. It teaches us just about everything, but it teaches us most of all how to have a relationship with God and walk with God, how to be spiritual men and women. That's what it teaches us. And it teaches us about his son, Jesus Christ. It teaches us about the redemption we have, how to pray, and what to believe. You know, Dr. Worrell used to say doctrine is how to believe rightly. And that's true. You know, it's just, it gives us the correct way to believe God. It teaches us about everything in life and how to believe. That is why it is so important that we rightly divide the word and the words in the Word of God. Pretty simple, huh? We saw in Titus 3:8, it says, a faithful saying, and that was profitable. And it's profitable as long as it's rightly divided. If it's not rightly divided, what? It's no longer profitable, and it's no longer faithful. It's pretty simple. And when we look at the Word of God and we look at some of the things that religion does, we see a pretty vast difference a lot of times in what God says in his word and what religion says about God, about Jesus Christ, about life, about us, about everything. You know, religions are mostly made up. They may have tinges of truth. It may be some things that, you know, strike you as really interesting or true. Even, you know, the wacky religions, Buddhism, you know, all that stuff, Hinduism, Islam, they all have bits of truth. And at times those guys that speak about that things may seem really deep or spiritual, but in reality, it's not, because if you go along, eventually they depart from the truth of God's word. And that's what counts. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, what does it tell us? Study to show thyself approved unto God, in verse 15. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so here we have, it's a word of truth. We saw that it's a faithful saying, right? We saw that it was profitable. And here it says that it's faith. It's truth. Truth is faithful, reliable, steady, and unchanging. You know, and so many times people talk about truth and they don't really understand what truth is. So there's certainly a big difference between what's factual and what's truth, right? There's a big difference between what's true to fact or true today and not necessarily true tomorrow. And what truth is. Truth never changes. Truth is eternal. I read something really cool when I was reading that thing about Isaac Newton. It said, when people look at the natural sciences, they'll tend to be atheist. But when they get into the deeper sciences of math and chemistry and physics, then they become believers. Because those things are based on truth. You know, the laws of nature, whereas the natural sciences are more about observation. You know, unless they take them to the chemistry and the physics and all the other stuff. You know, so that's why we got that great theory of evolution. Which is, you know, kind of ridiculous if you really examine it. Because this guy Darwin, who was young and really not educated, went out and saw all these different things at the Galapagos Islands, the famous Galapagos Islands, and then he drew all these conclusions, one of which is we come from apes or something, some kind of animal. Anyway, it was dopey. But once you have the rightly divided word, once you have the truth, there can be no doubt and there can be no debate. You know, there just is no debate. Let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. It says, for the word of the Lord. Oh, chapter 30, Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord, Jehovah, is right, which means upright, and all his words are done in what? Truth. You know, God's word doesn't change. If you read philosophers, you know, all these great philosophers, the dopiest of all time what's his name? He wrote Walden. Thoreau. He was nuts, and he actually had a nervous breakdown, a mental breakdown. But everybody, you know, if you go to a liberal college or study literature and all that stuff, they laud him to the skies. Oh, what a deep, great thinker and all this stuff. He was an idiot. He was nuts, you know. And if you study a lot of philosophers, you know, they start out here, and they end up here. Well, if they're so smart, they should be here and stay there, right? Yes. Because God does. He stays there. He's stable. He's faithful. His word is truth. It never changes. Let's go to Psalm 119. Of course, if we wanted to just look at what God says about his word, you could spend the next 5 years in Psalms. But that's really what's the most important thing, what God says about his word, not what people say about his word. You know, I could say anything, but we really have to look and see what the word says. In Psalm 119, verse 160, Bingo. Thank you, Janet. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth for how long?
Forever.
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, they've just been doing some stuff with the Supreme Court. Every week, you know, there's something going to the Supreme Court. Because what? Our statutes and our laws don't endure forever.
No.
And they're always changing them. Or one judge says, well, this really means this. And another judge says, no, it means that. Why? Because they don't have any standard for truth. And it's not based on truth, necessarily. Truth does not change. Man changes. Styles change. Governments change. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. You know, that's so important to know. It doesn't change. It's reliable. What God, you know, whether I believe it or not, whether I rise up to what the word says or not, I can still say it's the truth. If there's any failing, it's in me. I didn't stick to it. I didn't hold fast to it. That's another thing it says that we are to do. Hold fast, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It's a great verse, and this is a great testimony of the people at Thessalonica. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do what?
Believe.
If you don't believe it, it doesn't work. But if you do believe it, it does work. They received it as the word of God. When we read the word of God, you know, we need to go to it with an attitude of respect and love and seriousness that, you know, this is the eternal word of God that he wrote to us. And when you read it as though it was written to you personally, because it was. It was written to each and every one of us personally. You know, It was given to us for our benefit because God loved us. He wanted us to know. He didn't want us to be ignorant. You know, and again, that's one of the things that religion say. If they don't have an answer, I say, well, you just got to accept it. Or you just have to take it on blind faith. Good band, but not a good way to live life. It was a good band, if you like that kind of music. Okay, back to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, it says, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. You know, if somebody uses the word and they use it unlawfully or dishonestly, what do you get? Not the word. And people do that, don't they? People will use the word to manipulate. All you have to do is read Job, right? The miserable comforters. You know, and then God reproves them and said, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. You don't understand me like my man Job does. Because they didn't. They used the word dishonestly. Knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You know, what does he say here? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. We saw that the word of God is profitable for doctrine. Sound doctrine means healthy, whole doctrine. You know, it's complete. It's what you need to know. Sound. The word of God is sound doctrine, sound teaching, healthy teaching. And it's made up of sound words. And when we put those sound words in our minds, then we have what? Sound mind. It's pretty great. And it's according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a great thing. A sound doctrine and a glorious gospel. That's what God's word is. Glorious good news. Let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I think this is wrong. Oh, it's probably chapter 1, maybe. Let's see. No, I didn't. It isn't. I don't know. I had something here written and it's not here. I'll find it. Okay, chapter 1, sorry. Well, we just read that. Did we just read that? No. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's the same word sound. It means whole or healthy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony or the witness of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Lord would be Jesus Christ, right? And his prisoner, meaning Paul is, you know, totally committed to serving Jesus Christ. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or the ages of time. not before, you know, Genesis 1:1, but before the ages of time. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. You know, we know that it's a faithful word. We know it's sound doctrine. And so we know this to be true, right? This is absolute. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the what?
Gospel.
The gospel. The gospel being equivalent to those holy scriptures that are profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which were God-breathed. Right? Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith or believing and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. You know, we're to hold fast to the sound words, the words that were given by God to those holy men of God as they wrote it down. You know, that's what we are to hold fast to, not, you know, anything else. Now, does that mean we just go around quoting scripture all the time?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, sometimes people will think you're nuts. But whatever we say should agree with the word, right?
Yeah.
And we should keep that word in our heart and our mind. And we should always do our best to be in alignment and harmony with that word, to be in accordance with that word, to think according to that word. That's what should be in our heart. That's what it says we are to do. We're to hide that in our heart. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Woo! That'll be a great time. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. Just, you know, to teach. You know, one of the things that we do, we speak the word, but one of the things we do when we speak the word is we teach people. You know, and when we speak the word to ourselves, we teach ourselves. You know, that's one of the great things. You know, one of the great purposes of God's word is to teach us, to instruct us in how to live righteously, justly. For the time will come, verse 3, the time will come when they, whoever they are, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what fables are? Myths. Man, you just go back and, you know, basically Christmas is a myth. Easter is a myth. Lots of stuff in religion is based on myths. Right? It's just what people do. You know, even secular history, we have all kinds of myths that are built up that have nothing to do with the truth of what happened in history.
Crossing the Delaware,
yeah, or chopping down the cherry tree, or throwing a dollar across the Potomac, you know, dopey stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff like that. It's not true. You know, the poem about Paul Revere and his ride, it's very romantic and very nice, but it's not really anywhere near what really happened, you know. It's just, you know, a poet, and he made it romantic and wrote a poem and made Paul Revere famous. So it's just myths. And people, when they don't have the word of God, but they want to relate to a God, will build up myths. But you have to have a concern for knowing the truth. You have to know that sound doctrine. We're supposed to hold fast to that sound doctrine, where it says up here, they will not endure sound doctrine. What does that mean? They don't want to hold fast to it. They don't want to stick to it. Well, that's a shame. And they turn their ears from the truth, and they're turned unto myths. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. What a great thing. We're to hold fast the sound words, the sound doctrine. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 8. We already read this, didn't we? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou can affirm constantly, that they which have believed God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. When we maintain the good works of God, it is profitable. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Wow, it's a faithful saying and it's worthy of what? All acceptance. You know, the Word of God is worthy of all acceptance for sure. You know, we shouldn't doubt any of it. Now, obviously, as we study the Word, there are going to be apparent contradictions, right? So when we have an apparent contradiction, what do we know? We know that it's either in our understanding or it's in translation. So that's where we look, and we use the keys to how the Word interprets itself to figure it out. But once we figure it out, it should agree with everything else in Scripture, and then we should hold fast to it and be fully accepting of it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, he came into the world to save who? Us. We're all sinners. It says so in Romans. And then chapter 4, verse 9. Probably read this before already. Right? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So, again, it's worthy of all acceptation. Doctrine is that which is profitable. It is faithful. It is sound. It is healthy. It is whole. Sound words give us sound doctrine. When we have sound words and sound doctrine in our hearts and in our minds, then it says that we have a sound brain, a sound mind, sound thoughts. If we don't have the Word of God in our mind, then we don't have sound thoughts. Which, you know, can happen very easily if we're not careful. What does it say in Proverbs? It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let's go there. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, that's what we are to do with God's words, God's sayings. We're to keep them there. We're to hold fast to them. We're to do our best to accept them totally and completely. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed. We're going to get great benefits from it. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God or God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching us. God is the greatest teacher in the world, and he teaches us everything that we need to know about life and godliness. So, amen.